I'd like to begin in the Hebrews, the 12th chapter today. Last couple Sundays we had thoughts about growing and growth. And I want us to grow individually. I want us to grow spiritually individually to where we'll be able to fill the places that God would want us to fill. I'd like to see the congregation grow in numbers, sure. But I want the growth to be healthy. I want us to be effectual for God's cause in our individual lives and collectively. I'd like to begin reading Hebrews chapter 12, and I'd like to, my burden today is starting a fire. And I know in the past, all of us boys anyway, have had a particular attraction for starting a fire. And at some point, and maybe you don't have as much today. In fact, today, anytime I think that I want to start a fire, I begin to consider the wind, and I begin to consider how much combustibles are around the thing that I'm going to intend to burn. And I maybe make some preparations, whether it's getting out my garden hose or taking something to get some fresh dirt up on top, you know, kind of maybe run around something with a disc or a plow or something and kind of try to make preparations to try to limit my fire, how it might spread. But there was a time in my life that I didn't think about all of those things. All I thought about was that little spark and trying to get the little leaves to go or the pine needles. They start really well. And getting down there and kind of blowing on it and getting the smoke going and seeing the flame come and just starting a fire. And I know my boys sometimes started fires, once by the propane tank and once in the front yard when it was very dry and very windy. And my wife looked out just when the smoke was starting to build and maybe before the flames had really caught. And it was a very dry, windy, and it was right by the house. But you know, when you're young, you don't think about all of those things. You're just thinking about starting a fire. And I've been thinking about starting a fire. This week, felt like I had inspiration in another direction, but it seemed like the Lord just impressed this on my mind, so I want to be able to deliver this with the help of the Lord. Beginning in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, maybe, says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." So it's very obvious when we read these two verses that the Apostle Paul is addressing individuals that are, their intentions are to be a Christian, to live for God. And so I'd like for us to begin reading now over in the latter part of the chapter. We'll begin in verse 18, or maybe kind of in the middle here. And Paul begins to address the time that they live in. And we live in a time too. In the dispensation, we live under the New Testament dispensation just like Paul did. But we're living much, many years later than Paul did. Our surroundings are different. They're different. There are the specifics of our surroundings are tremendously different. If the Apostle Paul was to come here today and be exposed to the lighting we have, the climate control systems that we have, our transportation, all of that would be so different than when he was alive. But the reality of living for the Lord is still the same. All right? So I want to begin looking at something that he is addressing here with the people that he's writing to. Beginning in verse 18, he says, "For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor with blackness, and darkness, and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more. For they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it should be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake." So he's talking about here the old dispensation, the old law. The commandments coming down on Mount Sinai. We've studied about that in Sunday school, the adult Sunday school class. We've been addressing all the details of what it meant. God wrote his law with his finger on a table of stone. He communicated to his people. He told them, when I'm down on this mountain talking to Moses, don't let anybody touch the mountain. It'll be death to you. It was a very powerful witness of God's power and his presence. He says, you're not come, that's not where you're at. We're not there either. He says, "But ye are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels." This is the dispensation we live in. You are coming to a spiritual Jerusalem, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. There, another place he talks about the witness of those that's gone on before us. He says here, "And to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that ye refuse him not that speaketh, for if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven." So Paul is putting this in perspective. Jesus is not here in the flesh, but we are coming to that spiritual Jerusalem, that spiritual kingdom that he established. We can't speak to him face to face like a man, but he will speak to us from heaven today. All right? He says, "Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, Yet once more, I shake not earth only, but also heaven." And this word, "yet once more," signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. So when the Lord speaks, get this in our mind, there are things that's going to be shaken. When something is shaken, it's a lot easier to dislodge it and take it out. Many times the way that they demolish a big structure is with a wrecking ball. And when that wrecking ball comes down and smashes in, it shakes the whole thing. And once it shakes it, then it's easier to dismantle. Sometimes there's some kind of explosive device put in. And it shakes the whole structure to where things can be dislodged and dismantled easier. Many times, I had the experience just in the last week or so, I was trying to get something taken loose, and it was a fine threaded thread on this thing, and it was 22 millimeter was the size. So it was a pretty good size wrench. And I got my wrench on there, and I was putting all, I thought, I'm going to break something. The thing that it was threaded into, I could, you know, with a little experience, you know that you can't put everything you've got on. You're fixing to break the thing off that it's threaded into. I need some help here. And is in a kind of a bad position to get to, like a lot of things are. So I couldn't get it broke loose. So I finally got my hammer and a cold chisel, and I put it back there, and I smacked that thing and kind of shook it a little bit and put my wrench on it, and it come right out. Those of you that do that kind of, you know what happens there. So when the Lord speaks to us, many times it's like that cold chisel and that hammer put on it, and maybe it didn't turn it a lot, but it just kind of jolted everything to where it will begin to turn. All right? Stay with me here this morning. So he says, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Now here's the fire that I'd like to start. I don't want to just start a fire that runs wild and burns up the neighborhood. I want to start a fire in your mind, in your soul, that burns up the stuff that He shakes loose. And when the Lord speaks to us today, in the Old Testament dispensation, He came down on the mountain and there was smoke and fire and shake. There was earthquakes and the people were frightened. Moses was intimidated by the display of power. But there was something powerful that came out of that. There was something that set His people apart from all the other people. And today Jesus wants to speak to us individually. And when He speaks to us from heaven, there's going to be some things that's shaken. It may be something that's deep-rooted. It may be something that has Loctite on it. It may be something that if a whole group of people come by and start pressuring us, it may be something that sees so tight in our lives that we'll be crushed if they just try to wrench it out of us. But when Jesus speaks to us and shakes it loose, we'll be able to see that's something He wants to get out of our lives. And He wants to start a fire in you today to where that those things would be burned up and taken out. He says our God is a consuming fire. It's not, the purpose is not for destruction of you as an individual or us as a people. It's this purpose of this fire, and that's what I want to get into this morning, is to purify us, to cleanse us, to bring the things to the top, to burn off the dross, to get the rubbish out of our life. It's nothing like disaster coming along that makes you realize how much rubbish that you're packing along in your life. Just wait till you turn your toolbox over, or something happens and your purse falls and everything dumps out on the floor or the kitchen table, and you start picking it back up and it's like, why do I have 14 gum wrappers in here? And why do I have, there's just plain old dirt in my toolbox. How did it get in there? I thought I wiped my tools off. There are things like that in our life that the Lord wants to shake loose. And sometimes we feel like He's dumped us on the floor, so to speak. Sometimes we get a pretty hard jolt in life. And I'd like to look here in Romans, the 10th chapter, and begin reading in the first verse. He says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." Now we, in our efforts, we bring a lot of stuff along sometimes that's not what God wants us to have. It's real easy if you, in your line of work, in the things that you use every day, it's real easy to accumulate stuff that's nothing more than rubbish. It could be expired coupons. It could be broken pieces that you take. Well, that's interesting. I'm going to show that to somebody. And you put 50 of those in your toolbox, and pretty soon you've got a whole drawer of just broken parts. And why are you keeping all this stuff? You know, I'm can be a pack rat sometimes. And I can accumulate things that I really should just throw away. Put it in the scrap iron pile. Put it in the trash and haul it out. Something. But we're all susceptible to that. And he says, many are ignorant. They're going about establishing their own righteousness, not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses described the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth these things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thy heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ up again from the dead? What saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. I want to preach to us, to myself, that we must have the word of Christ applied to us. He said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth that the Lord Jesus shall and shall believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. The experience of salvation, the avenue of accessibility, is the same. It doesn't matter what your background is. There are some of you here today that have come from a lineage of God-fearing people. They've lived careful lives. And there's others here today that are like Greeks. You come from a background of not having daily instruction. You didn't come from a background where you had diligent parents that prayed with you and taught you. It doesn't matter where we come from. The avenue of accessibility is open to all of us. The Lord is rich to all of us. He says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And he goes on to say, and how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them which preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? He says, how in the 14th verse, how shall they hear without a preacher? Another place says that by the foolishness of preaching, God chose to save souls. I'm paraphrasing that a little bit. And I think, you know, the highest achievement that can ever be attained by a minister is he start a fire. Just start a little fire. God is a consuming fire, but if somehow I can throw a spark in where there's some combustible materials and start a little fire. You know, I've seen fire started before on purpose and sometimes not on purpose. That once it gets started, I didn't need to blow on it anymore. There was a day a few years ago that we built some gates at my house, and we were putting some gates up, and I welded the bracket I'd built to the post, and we got it out there, got our gate level like we wanted it, and I was welding it on. We got one of them welded on, and some of the sparks got down on dry grass, and the boys and I was able to just stomp it, just a little I mean, just a little spark, a little smoke, step on it. And we was fine. We were okay. So we got over to the next one, and got it all braced up, and we started welding these brackets on the steel post. And we seen a few little sparks. We stomped those out. But the grass was kind of tall, and I had a little trailer there with some of my tools on it. And some of those sparks got under that trailer and got the grass going. And by the time I realized it, there was flames coming out underneath my little trailer. And I had to get out of the way because it was going to catch my britches legs on fire. And so we got the stuff moved, and it was beyond stomping it out. And the wind was taking it, and it was going right down the fence row where all of the dry grass was. And it was lined up with a new construction. My neighbor was building a house over there. And this fire went from just a few little sparks to it was moving on. And I got smoke inhalation and I don't know what all that day. And by the time that my wife called the fire department, by the time they got there, we had it out. But I'm going to tell you, it was a pretty fearful thing. Fires are consuming. And the best I can ever hope for in this environment is just to throw a few sparks. That's the best I can ever hope for, is to get a little fire started. I want a fire to start in your life. Yes. I want a fire to start in our lives collectively. And I want this fire to be a consuming fire, one that burns up the dross and all the rubbish and all of that stuff that you've been keeping because you thought it was a good souvenir. I want the Lord to burn that stuff up to where we can be effectual. You know, the scripture says in one place, the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous shall avail much. How's it going to do that? It's going to do it when the dross is all burnt up. It's going to do it when all of the things of the rubbish that we want to carry, all the gum wrappers that we want to carry along with us, and all of the things we think we might need someday. Years ago, I used to save good used stuff. And I had a whole cabinet full of it. Good used parts. I thought. And then I said, that's too much. If it's a used part, even if it was have some use, I'm just going to throw it away. What good is brake pads that's 3/4 good? You know, you can get overloaded with stuff like that. Somebody says, I want you to put 4 shock absorbers on, 2 of them's good. Well, I might need that someday. I'll save 2 shock absorbers. Well, after a while, you got 2 good used shock absorbers and you don't have nothing to put them on. And then I decided, well, the wisest thing for me to do is just save, like, if I get a gasket set and I use all of them but 2, I'll just save the new ones. And you can get overloaded in that stuff too. And it can go bad on you. You know, the Lord wants us to burn up the stuff. Why are you backing this along? Why are you taking this attitude? Why are you taking this disposition? Why are you taking this manifestation of the world along in your life? What are you doing with that? You know, there's times you think, boy, I used to have one of those somewhere. I wonder where I put it. You know, the Lord wants us to, He wants His fire to be able to come in our lives and burn the stuff up. He wants us to be able to pray the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous in the day and age we live in. Yes, it's different than when the Apostle Paul was here. But it's still possible for us to be godly in this present day. I'd like to turn to Luke, the 3rd chapter. And notice something that John the Baptist said about the coming of Jesus. Said in Luke, the 3rd chapter, beginning in the 15th verse. And as the people were in expectation, and all men mused in their hearts of John, whether he were the Christ or not, John answered, saying unto them, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, And he will thoroughly purge his floor and will gather the wheat into the garner. But the chaff he will burn with fire unquenchable. I believe this is a reference to judgment. All right? I believe it's a reference to the judgment that Christ will put on the world and mankind at the judgment day. But I believe we can apply it to our lives today. I believe there's some things that the Lord would like to shake loose in our hearts and lives, in my heart, in my life. He'd like to shake it loose. There may be some things that no matter how much explanation, no matter how much leverage that somebody puts on it, it ain't budget. But Jesus would like to shake it loose today. And he'd like to thread that thing out. And he'd like to get rid of it out of our lives. I don't know what it is in your heart. I know what the Lord deals with me on. And I don't know, but I know he'll be faithful to every one of us. And whatever it is that the Lord has been putting his finger on, it might be some of those things that we're all impacted by the world around us. It might be something in our dress. It might be something in our disposition. It might be something in our attitudes. It might be something that comes from way back in our life. Impacts that things had on us when we were younger. Things that have been entrenched. You know, there's things that's been entrenched in my mind and in my heart. There's things I just don't do. Why? Because it's been entrenched by my parents, my environment, my circumstances. And sometimes we realize there's things that's been entrenched in us that the Lord is trying to shake loose. Maybe he's got his old chisel on there and he's fixing to knock it loose. And he's wanting us to thread it out. He's wanting us to throw it away. He's wanting us to get it out. He wants us to be able, every one of us, to be able to pray the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous. He doesn't want it just to be one or two in the congregation. He doesn't want it to be someone for the state of Missouri or for the United States of America. He wants every man, woman, young person, child, to allow that consuming fire to be operating in their life. He wants them to be able to get rid of the rubbish and the things that's going to drag them down and the things that's going to inhibit their prayer. You ever got down to pray and feel like there's something right there? And you know what it is. You ever done that? Good, because I'm not the only one. I've got down to pray before and I realize I'm trying to pray over something or around something or through something. You know how to get your prayers answered? Lord, I'm going to take care of that. I'm going to get rid of it. Hold that thought. I'm going to come back. And you go take care of that and come back and you humble yourself. Lord, now I'm ready to do some business. We got something burnt up that was in my life. We got rid of that drawer full of trash. All those gum wrappers. All of those things that you thought was important. Got rid of it. And now you're going to be able to really pray. Get the answer that you need. The fire that the gospel message will do. The effect it will have. And consume all the peripheral things that's in our lives. Oh, the best I can hope to do is just throw a few sparks this morning. Just throw a few sparks. Ask the Spirit of the Lord will fan them. Cause them to catch something on fire and burn it up. I'd like to go to 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. Bringing our thought to a close this morning. 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. Read verse 18. says, "What is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel." In verse 21 says, "To them that are without the law, as without the law, being not without the law to God, but under the law to Christ, but that I might gain them that are without the law." I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong chapter. I meant to be in the first chapter. First chapter of 1 Corinthians, 18th verse. He says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it's the power of God." You know, there are a lot of people that just don't get it out there in this world. They don't get what it's all about. And it's because they haven't got a fire started in their life. It's because they haven't witnessed the shaking of the Lord's Spirit on their life and their situation. He says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish, those that are unsaved, foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." My message today is to all of us that are endeavoring to live for the Lord. And I'm so thankful for every one of you. And my message is to us that the Lord wants to be a continual fire in our life, a continual burning. He wants us to be a living sacrifice. He wants that fire of His Spirit burning in our life. And when things are coming, when things become combustible, that they are combusted, that they're burned up, the dross is burned away, the stuff that needs to be scraped off comes to the top. 21st verse, it says, "For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." You know, it says to save them that believe. Somebody that's already believed. And I believe you believe, or you wouldn't be here this morning. I believe there's a level of belief. But I want to be saved. I want to go to heaven. I realize that for preaching to be effectual, it has to be anointed. And it only can be anointed if it's been inspired by God in the beginning. I want you to respond to the inspiration of the Lord. I want that Spirit, that consuming fire of God's Word and His Spirit, to be active in my life. And I want it to be active in your life. You know, it's so easy for us to just drag a little dirt over something and cover it up. It's so easy for us to just smother the fire out. It's so easy for us to feel like things are getting too hot. It's so easy for us to feel like that this won't hurt and that won't hurt. And what difference does this make and what difference does that make? Another place the Scripture talks about judging ourselves among ourselves. I believe it goes on to say that's not wise. And Lord, help us to be able to start a little fire this morning. Make a little flame. Get a little something going. Can I come to your house and say, "I got my torch out. We're going to burn some stuff up." It won't do any good. It's like me putting a cheater pipe on my wrench the other day. I could have done that. You know, the probability of me breaking something would have been very high. But when I shook that thing loose and I hit it with my cold chisel, I'm going to tell you, I put my wrench on there. All I had to do was back it out. And that's what I want the Spirit of the Lord. You know what the Lord's talking to you about. You know the things that you've been trying to circumvent. You know, I live at a place that's got lots of rocks. And there's something about traffic and over where there's rocks, and rocks just come to the surface. It just pushes the dirt down around the rocks and underneath the rocks, and next thing you know, you got a rock sticking up. And you can get a couple shovels full or a wheelbarrow load of dirt, and you can put it over and pack it down and smooth it out and grow a little grass on it. And it'll go along pretty good for a while. Next thing you know, here comes that rock again. It's coming right through the dirt you put. You're just going to have to dig it out. You're just going to have to burn it up. That's what I'm going to have to do. We're all in the same boat, all right? We're all in the same boat of humanity. And when we realize that we've been keeping gum wrappers and we begin keeping broken parts and we begin keeping stuff that might be good, but it's become distorted as the longer we keep it, as long as we're keeping stuff that the Lord wants to get out of our life, we're not going to prosper. Lord, help us. When I'm in trouble, I want somebody to be able to pray the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous. And you do too. So I ask you, I implore you to let a little spark get started this morning. And go to burning whatever it might be. If there's nothing, thank the Lord. If there's something you've been struggling with, if there's something that you realize, the Lord, you get down to pray and this thing, it's like a billboard pops up in your face every time you get, that's something the Lord wants to burn up. He wants to get rid of it. He wants you to be able to pray with confidence. He wants you to be able to go on in your life with confidence and assurance. You pray for me. I want the fire to work in my life too.